You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, February 12, 2017, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said of those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him. Or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right hand causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes or no, anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Have you all recovered from that gospel lesson? I didn't pick it. Have you noticed how angry everyone seems to be getting these days? Have you ever noticed how angry you might be getting these days? Regardless of whether we're likely to shout it out or hold it in, most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, know that we have had a problem with anger at some point in our lives. We all know the dangers associated with anger. If anger is not dealt with quickly and effectively, it will likely tear away at the very fabric of every community to which you and I belong, and every relationship we hold dear, including our relationship with God. Jesus noticed this too. In today's gospel lesson from Matthew, we have a record of how Jesus attempted to teach his first disciples and the crowds drawn to him about how to handle anger. The original context tells us a lot about how we are to interpret Jesus' teachings. He has just delivered his wonderful and inspiring Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, those beautiful attitudes that call forth the best in each and every one of us and help us to build healthy communities. Those attributes, again, are humility, healthy grieving in the face of losses, meekness or kindness, a thirst for righteousness and right living, mercy, purity of heart, and peacemaking. Jesus tells us that these are the states of being that bring forth blessedness, community, bring heaven more quickly to earth. Now, in sharp contrast, today's gospel lesson is focused on what takes away from being able to live in a state of blessedness with God, with others. It also helps us to see the forces working against community. Harboring murderous thoughts, words, smoldering anger, intense conflict with a brother or sister within your own family or the family of God. Maliciously calling someone a fool or a moron. And of course, this is not the healthy foolishness that Father Lex has been talking about lately. Blowing someone off who believes you have deeply wronged or injured them. More about that one later. Duking it out in court when someone brings you there. Lust, adultery, divorce. And lastly, making false promises to ourselves, to God, to those we love. Now, what do all of these very difficult situations have in common? Anger. And I believe anger is the most misunderstood emotion on this planet. So many of us, we have seen just the unhealthy expressions. The past year has been particularly tough for us as a nation, as a people. Anger abounds. Some of us got an early start or a misstart with anger in our own childhoods, when loved ones, trusted ones, ones we depended on, harmed us with their words and their actions. Few psychologists would argue with the fact that anger is an essential emotion needed for our survival. It provides us with the energy we need to protect ourselves, set appropriate boundaries, stand up against injustice. It's hard to know, though, sometimes whether anger is truly our friend or our foe. Even Jesus himself modeled the healthy expression of anger. The best known is, of course, when he overturned all those tables of those corrupt money changers at the temple. This healthy and necessary type of anger is not what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. There are actually two different words used in the New Testament for anger. One describes a fiery, short-lived kind of anger that flames on and then quickly flames off and dies. The other, however, is different. It is a smoldering, festering type of anger, the kind that a person nurtures and keeps alive over a long period of time, perhaps even a lifetime. It is the latter of these two kinds of anger that Jesus is pointing to in today's gospel lesson. After all, Jesus is an expert in reading our human hearts. He knew that in our nature, our very nature, we store up anger in the recesses of our hearts and let it fester over long periods of time, eventually creating destruction and chaos in our lives and in our relationships. I believe this is what the Apostle Paul was warning the church in Corinth about as well. If we look carefully, we can see that Jesus is identifying a progression that we need to be concerned about. First comes the anger, and then the insults, and then the justification in our own minds to treat someone as an inconsequential fool who doesn't really have to be taken seriously. So some of you might be thinking, what is so horribly wrong with that? It's hardly a murderous action to call someone a fool. And I would say, you're right, it's only a pre-murderous action or thought. When you think about it, as soon as we start to dehumanize another human being, we've started down a no-U-turn road that easily leads us to committing greater acts of aggression against others and ultimately harms our own souls. It's so much easier to tease, taunt, and God forbid, even torture someone if you don't see them as human and if you see them as inferior to yourself. Jesus is right. This process eventually leads both the perpetrator and the victim into a type of hell. In fact, hell is mentioned 3 different times in today's gospel lesson, so I'm inclined to take it seriously. Even though I don't think Jesus actually wants us to cut off any body parts, he simply wants us to cut free from the unhealthy attachments that we have to anger, our sin, blind spots, and most of all, the desire to seek retribution. God doesn't need to create a hell and send us there. We are perfectly capable of doing that ourselves. And often all we need is the misguided tongue to create the hell for us and for others. I remember that at communion, we often think about remembering. When we come to the holy table, no matter what kinds of heaven and hell experience we've had, whether we feel whole or a little bit cut up, we are remembered. That is, we are put back together. How we treat others matters to God, and it matters to us as the body of Christ. In fact, Jesus' primary mission is to help us get right with him and with each other. This is the witness that we need to give to the world. Jesus makes this point strongly when he says that if we remember that someone has something against us, we should leave our gift at the altar and go and attempt to be reconciled first before offering our gift. Read the small print. It doesn't say, if we think we have injured someone else. It is, if we have reason to believe to our knowledge that someone else has the perception that we have injured them. It's a little different. We are to make that the priority. Now, every Sunday, we get some help with that in our liturgy. We hear the word of God. We say a general confession. We receive absolution. And then before coming to the altar to receive communion, we offer the peace to our brothers and our sisters gathered here. All's well, right? Well, unfortunately, we know that reconciliation is often not that easy, but it is the place to start. Jesus is telling us that anger, that slow, brewing, simmering type of anger and resentment, is one of the most virulent diseases of the soul, and we should be much more worried about catching that than the cold germs on the communion cup. Each Sunday, we are asked to examine the condition of our hearts in the collect for purity and take a look at where healing and reconciliation is most needed in our lives. When the crowds first gathered around Jesus to hear his teachings, they would have been astounded, and so should we when we hear that pursuing reconciliation is far more important and urgent than making a sacrifice or an offering at the altar. And when we look at the world around us, we know Jesus is right, and today he reminds us to take the first step. We begin by carefully examining the role of anger in our lives, either how we express it or how we suppress it. What role is it playing in our lives? And we cannot heal until we allow ourselves to feel what that is and also to know how to express it. The second step is to reach out to a friend or a stranger, a parishioner, a loved one to which you feel estranged, and insofar as it's possible and doesn't place you or the person in grave harm, seek reconciliation. This is the greatest offering that you and I can offer to our Lord. And lastly, shamelessly, I'm putting a plug in for the new Wednesday night series, Disunity in Christ, where we'll dive more quickly and deeply into this vital subject, uncovering the hidden forces that keep us apart, but most importantly, bring us back. Remember us together. Amen.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org. www.stthomasmedina.org.